On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I get into two more what-ifs in Nets history, all that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Should we move on from White?
Sure. Let's move on. Do you want to talk about the KG Pierce trade? We can kind of go a little bit quicker on that one if you want.
Yeah, let's piggyback off this. We were talking about this earlier. I think this trade, you know, it gets so – we've talked about it so much and really beaten it to death in the basketball kind of Twitterati media. But there was an element of the trade that really made it more detrimental – to the Nets. Marcus, why don't you walk us through what the original trade was and kind of the additions that, if they didn't happen, might have made things better for me in my late high school, college years when I was watching basketball.
Yeah. So we kind of talked about this a little bit in the look back at the 2013-14 season. But there were quotes at the time from Billy King's, he did a radio interview on WFAN, and he said that the initial trade was just focusing on Paul Pierce. And then in talking to the Celtics about that, they got to a point where they were comfortable with the deal. And then he kind of like went another step further and said, well, how can I get KG also? And then they had to keep talking, renegotiating. Josh, you pointed out to me over text that because of like getting the salary smash, they had to include Gerald Wallace in the deal. But then for the Celtics to be willing to take on that albatross of a contract, that means loosening up protections on picks, that means throwing in swaps. And so because they didn't just take the initial trade, which would have been Pierce and maybe like a couple picks, maybe like one or two, maybe lighter protections on them, and because they wanted to get KG also, it meant throwing in Gerald Wallace, and that meant having to include even more picks and basically no protections. I think if they had made just that initial trade with Paul Pierce for, let's just say, two picks, like one unprotected, one like lightly protected, I think that's a fine trade. And like, even though Pierce leaves after a season, we also talked about this when we did the bracket of the best Nets of the 2010s. Pierce definitely provided some real memories in that one season, specifically in that Raptor series. And then even in the series against the Heat, just kind of like having the tenacity and the testicular fortitude, I'll say, to go at LeBron and the big three Heat. Like, Pierce, it was a short stint, but it was not an unmemorable one for him with the Nets. It was KG who really fell off a cliff, and then more so than that, it was the fact that they had to throw in all those picks to get KG and throw in the Gerald Wallace contract as well. I think if they just made the Pierce trade, this wouldn't be that bad of a trade, Josh.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Again, to your point, it wasn't their play because they did have a good season for the Nets.
Yeah.
KG was, I mean, it wasn't exactly like super helpful that following half a season, but whatever, he was there. And like an okay role player. The problem is this insane bounty they had to pay, not only to get these guys who are two Hall of Fame players, in KG's case, definitely, in Paul Pierce's case, possibly top 50 guys of all time. But when you add in having to take on Gerald Wallace and all of this, it just adds up to you're paying for the legacy more than you are the player. And you're basically doubling that when you get a guy like KG, who is, you know, first ballot, surefire Hall of Famer, top 25 guy ever, in my opinion, and just truly a phenomenal player. And the Nets were paying for past pedigree and not future performance. And it really took a toll on them. And I think if they were just making that trade for Pierce, who was a solid contributor that one season, it wouldn't have been as detrimental. But then you have Wallace getting in the mix. You're taking on a guy like Jason Terry, who's negative salary. And then you just have all these additional pick swaps, extra picks going to Boston. It gives them more bites at the apple. And that's how they were able to capitalize on a guy, guys like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and really, even though they did miss on a couple, they got two all-star caliber players from it. And if KG hadn't been included, it would have gone from 2-1, which is a huge deal and swing the power dynamics in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and it honestly might not have even been that one. I mean, it could have just been the James Young pick and then maybe that 2016 pick that became Jaylen Brown. Like, even if they had put longer. Light protections on that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we don't know what exactly would have happened, but it's not like the Celtics just hit a home run on every pick.
No, yeah, it's just that they had so many that they got that they could afford to hit like a couple singles and like piece them together.
Even Billy King could have gotten one of those right. I'm confident. I would have fault, actually.
Yeah, he would have taken faults. That was also like in the Dwight trade. If the Nets had given them all those picks, and because the Fultz pick was like the one that was traded to the Celtics, which was then sent to Philly and then eventually sent to Orlando. I wonder if that just like speeds up Fultz being in Orlando, like if he's just drafted there.
My God. Wow.
And imagine Fultz he was meant to be in Orlando.
An extra year in that system.
He would have been a problem.
He really would have been a problem. I cannot imagine what Steve Clifford would have done with an extra year of him. It really would have been something else.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, going back to the KG Pierce trade, I think we've kind of hit on most of it. Like, obviously, it's an incredibly bad trade, and it was compounded by the Blazer trade that we mentioned before, which was necessitated because Dwight Howard pulled out from this. Josh, do you think that Nets fans should be more mad at Dwight for backing out or at Billy King for everything?
Billy King. Okay. I think like Dwight is literally, his job is to go on the court, play basketball, give it his all. Billy's supposed to think about these strategic things, how people fit into one another, and really detach himself from the emotion. He clearly failed at that. Dwight was susceptible to it. And listen, as a man who loves sweets myself, I have the temptation that when someone puts your favorite candy in front of you, that can provide. So I would sign anything. I would sign my life away if there was, you know, Americone Dream Ben and Jerry's or I don't even know, like a Levain cookie in front of me.
Oh my goodness. Chocolate chip walnut. You kidding me?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, say anything in that scenario.
Levain cookies are delicious, but another thing that's delicious that I have to talk to you guys about is Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They've got 16 amazing flavors, 8 of them a chocolate and nut combination, and they've also got 8 nut-free options. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're surprisingly soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. I just had another bar this morning with my workout. I prepped you guys on the podcast yesterday. I went coconut almond bar yesterday. Today, the mint brownie. It was heavenly. Definitely making a case to be in my top 5 flavors. Built Bar, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber goodness. It can help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. If you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. Should we move on, Josh?
Let's do it. So next on our list, we have something that I think is a bit more tame and less controversial. The year was 2010. The Nets were absolutely horrible the season prior, 12-70. Losing 18 games to start the season. 3 coaches in Lawrence Frank, James Barese, or was it Tom? Yeah, Tom Barese, actually, excuse me, and then Kiki Vandeweghe. They had the best odds coming into the lottery, and on that fateful night in May, they, instead of receiving the first pick and surefire thing, John Wall, who was leading Kentucky, we received the 3rd pick, so it meant no John Wall, no Evan Turner, who people thought was kind of the consensus number 2 guy. And we were left with options like Derek Favors, Boogie Cousins, and Wes Johnson. It was a absolute punch in the gut after enduring such a terrible season to go 12-70 and not receive the number 1 pick, not even receive the number 2 pick. It sucked. So our what if moment here is, what if the Nets had gotten that number 1 pick and were able to take John Wall?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because Favors had such a brief tenure with the Nets because he was traded a little over halfway through the season for Darren Williams. And so I'm a little bit torn on if John Wall would have just had the same fate and been included in that trade to upgrade and kind of or upgrade at the time and kind of make a move for a guy who was more ready to win now, or if they don't make that trade at all because they have a guy at that same position who's younger and has more potential down the road. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there was no way the Nets were trading John Wall for Darren Williams. Because remember, they wanted, it wasn't even necessarily about a win now move. It's just that they wanted some like excitement for their move to Brooklyn.
So right.
They wanted kind of like a star player, someone that they could put billboards around. And John Wall was that guy. Obviously, Darren Williams was a much better player at the time. But John Wall was like, he had the song, Watch Him Do the Dance. He was really just such an electrifying player at Kentucky and in the NBA for the Wizards. And it's not like he was a scrub his rookie year. You know, he came out averaging 16 points, 8 assists, 2 steals, a very, very exciting player who was kind of NBA ready. And obviously, he rounded out his game, but he was a really, really interesting player to watch right off the bat. He didn't win Rookie of the Year that year. I think it was
Blake.
Yeah, it was Blake because he had missed the season before with his injury, and he came out and he was just like, he was born ready. Apologies to Stevenson, but they should have called it about Blake Griffin. So they wouldn't have traded John Wall at all because he had that excitement. He was more of a flashy player than Darren Williams. And, you know, if D-Will doesn't, if they have John Wall, if they don't make the trade for D-Will, they don't make the ensuing trades to keep D-Will happy because you have Wall who doesn't know any better because he's still a rookie and it's fine growing in with the team. He was going to be able to really dime up Brook Lopez a lot, who had only been drafted 2 seasons before. That actually could have been a great combo. But yeah, I mean, that was, Favors just was a very solid prospect, but just not kind of the sexy player they could market and build around.
Yeah, that point about like the trades that follow this one as kind of a way to make D-Will happy is really interesting because it kind of can all be traced back to this trade for Darren Williams, where they gave up Devin Harris and Derek Favors. Because, yeah, like the whole reason that they want to trade for Dwight Howard specifically is because he's like allegedly friends with Darren Williams. The whole reason they trade for Gerald Wallace is because they want to make D-Will happy by bringing him someone with a big name. They trade for KG and Pierce because they're closer to D-Will's timeline and they're trying to build like this super team. Like if they just never made that initial trade for D-Will, who after those first 2 years was kind of a disappointment for the Nets, like probably none of those eventual trades like happen. And so if you have John Wall and you have Brook Lopez, both roughly similar ages, Brook's a few years older, but like that's a much more easy core to build around because those guys are younger, they're paid much less, and like I don't know, you like don't have to worry about appeasing them as much as a guy who's already an established name at that time like Darren Williams. And so it's kind of like, it's probably not fair to point it all back to like the bounce of these ping pong balls, but I don't know, I feel like those trades don't happen if the balls bounce a different way.
Definitely not. I think that's the thing. Like when you get lucky on the draft, you can have so-so management and you can still be successful because you're just getting those star players who are kind of surefire things regardless. You know, like you're Dallas and whatever you want to say about their front office and the sense that they might have botched some things post Dirk or post winning the championship. If you fall into Luka, you fall into Luka, you know, and you're able to make a trade with Atlanta where you get basically a surefire guy. It's hard to mess that up. It's really, really hard to mess these surefire things up, like New Orleans with Zion. So
the Cavs with LeBron. Like exactly. they tried their hardest to stop him and he still made the finals.
Completely right. And he was loyal enough to come back after and win them a championship. But when you don't get super lucky with the ping pong balls and you have guys like Derek Favors who are really interesting prospects but not surefire things that can come in and be really like quality starting players right away, that's when you can get into a lot of trouble by making trades that are win now and trades that really kind of sabotage your plan. And the Nets weren't lucky enough to overcome their own stupidity. And it put them in a position where they're making all these win now trades, taking a bet on Darren Williams being their franchise guy and clearly whiffing on that. Maybe the information that they had at the time, I don't think it's a bad bet and I probably one that I'd repeat, but it just completely did not work out. And if they had John Wall, it wouldn't have even had to be a question because he's the guy you build around.
And one thing you can build yourself around is some more knowledge. Let me tell you about one of the ultimate life hacks. You know, we've got more time, but I still feel super busy nowadays, even in quarantine. It's hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more. There's an incredible app that makes this a lot easier, and it's called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, tablet, or web browser and uniquely gives you the key takeaways and need-to-know information in just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Blinkist has thousands of nonfiction books and 12 million users, so there's no better time to jump in than right now. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to that massive library of nonfiction books, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and get 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off your new subscription. Yeah, and it's tough to say, like, how the Nets would have done in the next couple of years because this team never happened, obviously. But, like, that Wizards team the first year with Wall, they won 23 games. And the first year with Favors for the Nets, obviously they traded him midway through the season, but they won 24 games. So the teams were about even, like, at the beginning. And I don't know, like, if the Nets are on that similar trajectory to Washington, maybe they get another crack, like, at a top pick like the Wizards did with Bradley Beal. And then maybe you're talking about a team of Wall, like, lottery pick X and Brook Lopez going forward, which is definitely a much more promising core than they wound up having, like, just age-wise, like, talent-wise, fit-wise, all of that. So, yeah, it's hard to say, like, what would have happened. But I definitely think that I would if you gave me the option to, like, go back in time and switch this up for the Nets, I would probably do it and just see what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point. Like, just it prevents the Nets from taking that future bite at the apple of getting a top guy, because the Nets, like, didn't basically have any of their picks until, I don't know, years out. I'm just looking now. They didn't pick, the Nets have not picked in the top 20 since taking Derek Favors.
Oof. Oh my God.
Besides when they traded Thaddeus Young to get Caris LeVert and take him at number 20.
Yeah.
And think about how bad they've been in that intermittent period.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of says it all. Like, the pick that the Nets had in 2012 when the Wizards took Brad Beal was the one that they traded for Gerald Wallace to appease Darren Williams and became Damian Lillard. So, like, I mean, I don't know. That pick probably wouldn't have been that exact same spot in the draft order. But, like, you give up those kind of players to appease guys who are already stars. Like, that's kind of what happened with Cleveland, even though the guys that they traded haven't really amounted to that much in terms of Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett for Kevin Love to try to appease LeBron. But that's the risk you take. And, like, it can go the way that it did for the Cavs, where you find yourself in the finals for a few years, you win a title, and those guys you traded don't really come back to bite you. But it can also go the way that it did for the Nets, where the team that you put together kind of on the fly never totally clicks, makes the second round, doesn't win a ton, and then the guys who you sent away, who you were like, oh, these guys are years away, they're in high school right now, like, we're not going to, like, have to worry about them for a while. Like, they become all-star players, all-NBA players, like Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, and the rest.
That's a great point. The Nets, like, the following year, the pick that the Nets would have had was the third overall pick that Utah got to take. Granted, it was Enes Kanter, who was not a good value at that pick, and you look kind of at the guys taken following Tristan Thompson, Jonas Valanciunas, Jan Vesely, Biombo, Brandon Knight, Kemba Walker 9, but I think even then he was going to be taken third, and you already had John Wall. So, like, granted, the guys there weren't great, but you could have parlayed that number 3 pick into another younger guy who was in a maybe in a tougher situation, who could have fit in really well with John Wall and Brook Lopez to be part of the core. It's just you gave up so many assets for Darren Williams when if they had John Wall, he would have been that kind of go-to thing, and they would have just had so much more flexibility and ammo at their disposal.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that they wouldn't take Kanter if they had Brook, and they'd probably either take, like, Tristan Thompson, or they would try to trade down to get a wing guy to fit with those two. But, like, regardless, that would have been better than what they had. Like, I mean, not that they would have taken these guys, but this is the draft with, like, Klay Thompson at pick 11, Kawhi at pick 15, even Tobias Harris at pick 19. So, like, this was definitely a draft to trade down in, and the Nets just didn't have a pick to trade.
LaVoy Allen also. Josh Harrelson.
Jorts.
Yep. So all three of these have gotten me really sad about what could have been with the Nets. Should we be doing these the other way also?
Like things that worked out but couldn't have?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. Like they signed Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. That's pretty good. Like if KD hadn't gotten hurt, or if the Knicks hadn't traded Porzingis, maybe he goes to the Knicks. You know, that's a what if that maybe brightens your mood, Josh.
For sure. Like what if the Nets took like what if they took Jason Thompson from Ryder instead of Brook Lopez in the 08 draft? Like, oh, things here would be so much worse, or maybe better, because they would have sucked even more, and hopefully have gotten a better draft pick in soon years. Who knows with any of these things?
Yeah, maybe they wind up with Blake Griffin at the top of the 09 draft.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been nice. Well, giving me a lot to chew on and think about, Marcus. I like this exercise. We have a couple of more really exciting what-ifs, including one that I'm very, very interested to hear your thoughts on. But of course, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, rate us, review us, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nets. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal. I am at JMBess underscore.
Josh and I are going to have some more what ifs for you guys next week. And also the mystery project that I mentioned on the last podcast. We are recording that later tonight, so that should be up either tomorrow or over the weekend. We'll get into that when that podcast episode comes out. In the meantime, if you want even more Locked On podcast content, you can listen to the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball with our guy Josh Lloyd. Always a good pod over there. And until next time, be well. Bye.